All right, so we're going to be starting a brand new series this week, and I'm going to just warn you right now, this may be a long one. I try to keep series pretty, around the 6 week average time frame. I know maybe average is maybe like five or so. This one may be a little bit longer because as I was putting together this series and I kind of started putting my ideas down on paper and these sort of things, just one came and then I was like, oh, I got to cover that thing and then I got to cover this thing. So I can't really tell you how long this is going to be. I don't believe we will miss a Christmas series this year, but you never know. Because as we are looking at these things together, again, things just kept coming to my head and things that I felt like I wanted to share. So I'm just going to give you a warning up front. This may be a little bit of a longer one, but I think it's a very, very important one. And this name of our series is simply this: Our God is blank. And over the next several weeks, we are going to be looking in depth at some of the attributes of God. We're going to try to get to know Him a little bit better, because here's what I've learned. No matter how long you follow the Lord, no matter how long you've learned about Him and studied about Him and His Son and the Holy Spirit, all of those things, listen, we can all know Him a little bit more. I've found that in my life and the life of people that I've come in contact with, we all really kind of have a limited view of God. And we could all learn a little bit more about Him. Because I think this, the more we learn about Him, the more we're going to love Him. And the more we love Him, the more we're going to serve Him. And the more we serve Him, the more impact that we're going to have in our world, in our community. So in a lot of ways, the more we can understand about who He is, the more He's going to be able to use us and change us to actually become more and more like Him. So here's the deal. Over the next several weeks, we're going to fill in these blanks. We're going to come together and we're going to fill these in and look at these together. And the first one that we're going to look at together is simply this: Our God is great. Our God is great. Let's pray. Father, we love You. We're so thankful for all that You are and all that You do. And Father, as we look at these things together, as we open our hearts to what You desire to do, God, we ask that You would just help us to focus on what Your Holy Spirit would want us to learn today. We love You. We thank You. You're so good. In Jesus' name, amen. Our God is great. I remember as a child, and I think I've talked about this before, we still do as a family, but I remember when I was real young, as a kid, we would sit around the kitchen table, and we would have dinner. Mom would make dinner and things like that. Mom was the dinner maker. Dad really couldn't cook, except for a few things, like I think peanut butter and jelly or something like that, So Mom would do the cooking, Dad would do the dishes, and we would all come together and sit down, and it would be time to pray. And I'm the eldest of my family, so, when I was 6 years old, my brother was four, and my twin sisters were two, so it kind of gives you the age bracket. And so they would ask one of us, to pray over the meal, and of course, I would always, really call down the fire. No, not at all. I would do the prayer that some of you have heard many, many times, depending on how old you are. I would do this. I would say, let's pray. Everybody get quiet. And I'd say, God is great. God is good. Or God is good. God is great. Let us thank Him for this food. Amen. 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 Let's eat. Because at the time I was always ready to eat. And we say those things a lot. We'll communicate these ideas a lot. Oh, God, You're so big. God, You're so great. God, You're so awesome. But at the same time, do we really understand what we're communicating? Do we really allow the awesomeness, the greatness of God to penetrate our hearts and change the way we live, the way we think, the way we understand the situations that we face? Because here's the thing, you go, well, why is this so important? Why is it important that we understand how big, how great, how awesome God is? And it's simple, because if we see a small God, we'll see a small God that can only handle small issues and small problems in our lives. You see, if we have faith in a great God, you will look at Him to do great things in your life. Because a lot of times what we do is we do have that limited view of God. We go, God, You can handle this, but God, I don't know if You have time or You really can handle that. And it's funny because when we look at those things and we say something like that out loud, we go, oh, no, God could handle that. God could do that. God could take care of that situation. But when it usually that situation almost comes knocking on our door, all of a sudden, we tend to kind of put God in a little bit of a box. We begin to kind of say, well, God, you're great, or do something like this. God, you're great in their life, but not necessarily that great in mine. Almost like God plays favorites, when Scripture is very clear. He says that he doesn't. He doesn't show favoritism. What God will do as greatness in my life can be the greatness in your life. But here's the deal. If we have a small view of God, in a lot of ways, we will only look to him to do the small things. And here's the deal. There are going to be big things that happen in your life and mine. And here's the deal. I don't want the big things in my life or yours to be dealt with by small people, meaning me. I got big issues. I got big situations, and I need a big God to help me deal with it. And you do too. And that's important to understand, that we're not alone, that we have a God who can handle these situations. So to kind of look at the greatness of God this morning, the awesomeness of God, let's just start at the beginning. I think that's a great place to start. Genesis 1, looking at verses 1 through 3, it says this: "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Then God said, 'Let there be light,' and there was light." You know what's interesting about that is, you know, I don't know about you, I say a lot of words in a day, probably more than I ought to, and I have never spoke something into existence. I have never said something like, "Let there be pizza," and there was a pizza there. That'd be awesome. Wouldn't that be great? I mean, that'd be something else. But in a lot of ways, that doesn't happen. And here's the deal. Like, when you hear this, if you look at the creation story that we get in Genesis 1, it's quite interesting. Because God says, "Let there be light." Now, I don't know what you picture when you see that concept. But here's the deal. You need to understand, God didn't create the sun at this point. He doesn't create the moon at this point. That comes, I believe, day 4. So the light here that God is creating is not the same type of light that you and I will understand when we go outside after service this morning. This must be some type of a spiritual light. This must be something different. This is something that I always talk about, this idea back in Exodus, where God brings a darkness to the land of Egypt. If you look at one of the plagues, there's a darkness that comes. I think that this is the light that is the opposite of that. This is a light that is a spiritual light in a lot of ways that can make a massive impact. And so God speaks it and creates it. And then he goes on throughout creation and begins to say, "Well, let's create this, let's create that, let's make the moon and the stars, let's make the animals and the ones that are on the ground," and all these amazing things. And you begin to look at this and you begin to go, man, this is awesome. That a God is so big and so awesome and so incredible that all he has to do is speak things into existence. And here's the deal. A lot of times as you look at things like that, you know, like, I don't know about you, but when I think about creation, my mind, unfortunately, goes back to, like, biology classes and to, like, earth science classes that I took in high school, you know? And here's the deal. I don't know if you know this. Like, I was not a math science guy, okay? I was kind of the history language guy, okay? And so when it came to math, I struggled a little bit. When it came to science, I struggled a little bit. So when it comes to, like, understanding God and the awesomeness of his creation, sometimes I get a little lost. Like, you know, it's like it would have been very easy for me to be like, "Listen, we're going to talk about how the creation is and how awesome it is and how close the sun is to the earth and the mileage. And if it was a mile too far this way or a mile too far that way, we'd burn up or freeze up or whatever else." Or you could talk about all the gases and all the elements and all those things. You know, I never took chemistry because I knew I'd fail it, you know, those sort of things. And so when it comes to the greatness of God and his creation, I go pretty simple. Because I'm a pretty simple guy. And so I'm not going to talk this morning about the creation of God with all the sciencey stuff. I'm going to talk about it in the way that I understand. I want to show you a picture. Throw that picture up there, Linda. You know what that is? It's a snowflake. It's a snowflake. Next one. I want to show you a couple of these. Look at that. Look at at that. That is a snow. That is a single snowflake. I mean, look at the intricacy of it. Okay, I got two more. I just pulled these off the internet. Go ahead, Linda. Give me number three. That's a snowflake. All right, Linda, last one. Isn't that unbelievable? Now, you, Aaron, why are you showing us pictures of snowflakes to talk about the awesomeness of God? As Linda leaves the last one up there, I want you to think about something with me. When we talk about the moon and the stars and the heavens and all those things that God created, I mean, that's awesome and that's amazing. Light years away and galaxies and all the amazing things that God has created. But I want you to remember something about this particular snowflake. He created that, and it's going to melt. Our God is so amazing and so big and so great that he will create things like that, that when the temperature gets to 33 degrees, it goes away. And there's trillions of them. I'm sure there's zillions. I don't know what the word, I remember, I'm not good at math. I don't know what the one is after trillions, zillions, just lots. God creates these things for his pleasure, to show us how great and awesome he is, and they melt. If God will create things of that nature, if God will do things, like when you look at a snowflake, I mean, hopefully, I know this is me talking, and it's not all of you, but hopefully here in the next 5 or 6 months, we'll get a bunch of these that will fall. And when you see them, I don't want you to go, oh, goodness, isn't it wonderful? I want you to think about the greatness of God. I want you to understand that God crafted these things, that God made them, and they're going to melt. And if God would be that great to create those types of things that are going to melt, how much more does he care about you? How much more does the scripture say you are fearfully and wonderfully made matter now? Because when you think about all the greatness of God, and you think about all that he has done, he makes things like this just to prove it. And so many times in our life, we will look at problems or situations and we'll think God is too small to handle them. When in so many ways, God is great. He makes snowflakes that melt and he designs them in unbelievable ways. Not only that, but let's look this together at some of the greatness of God in the Bible. Let's look at some of the stories that are so important and so great. Let's look at the story of the life of Abraham. Abraham, of course, Father Abraham, you know, he was basically in the book of Genesis, and he leaves his family and he goes off. God doesn't tell him where he's going, and he leaves and he goes off, and God blesses him. God does some great and mighty things. And basically, in Genesis, Abraham and God are having this discussion. And basically, Abraham's like, listen, you know, I mean, you've given me wealth. You've taken care of me, all these things. And he goes, but listen, I have no heir. I have no son. I don't have anybody to leave all this to. God, you promised you're going to do all these things. You're going to make me a great nation and all these things if I would just obey you. But how is that going to happen? I have no son. And in the scriptures, and I love this, and you got to catch this. Basically, God speaks to Abraham, and he goes, Abraham, go outside. And what we see is basically Abraham and God are having a conversation in Abraham's tent. And Abraham is kind of having this conversation with God, and all he can do is he can look up, and all he can see is this tent that he put together, that he made, the things that he had done that showed his wealth and all these sort of things. And God says, listen, man, you're missing something here. He says, go outside. Stop focusing on the things that you've made and the things that you can do, and go outside. And so he goes outside, and God says, look up. Look up. He says, you see all those stars? He says, that's the family you're going to have through me. And in a lot of ways, it's like God looks at Abraham and he says, listen, if I'm great enough to make all those stars, I'll take care of an heir for you. I'll take care of that. Some of us, listen, we get involved in our problems and our situations, and we look up, and all we see is a tent in front of us. All we see is the problem. All we see is the situation that we're dealing with. And so God would look at some, at me and you, and basically say, hey, listen, get outside and look up and see that I am greater than the problems that you face. I'm greater than the situations that you deal with. Yes, it may seem impossible for you, but nothing is impossible for God. It's like God said, listen, you're concerned about having a son. You're concerned about having an heir. I created all of this. You think that that's going to be a problem for me? You see, what happened is Abraham, once again, like we do, put God in that box and said, God, you can't. God, it's too big. God, it's too much. And God said, listen, if I can create all of this, I think I can handle you. I think I can make an impact in you. In the life of Moses, Moses was an interesting character. Moses was a Hebrew individual, but he was raised by the Egyptians. And basically, in his life, he makes some mistakes. He kills an Egyptian. He has to run off. God calls him back and says, listen, I'm going to use you to bring my people out of Egypt. He comes. God uses him through the plagues and all these amazing things. Pharaoh finally says, you know, after a long time, the people can go. So he takes them off, and he's heading to the Red Sea, and basically Pharaoh changes his mind. He says, hey, what have I done? So he sends his army to go gather them and bring them back. So in this story, Moses is kind of here in the middle with all the children of Israel. The Red Sea's on one side, the army's on another, and boy, they're in a pickle. God says, raise your hands. Stretch your hands over the sea. And the Bible says that God parts the sea, and he parts it in such a way that they are literally walking on dry land. They cross, the army comes, the ocean or the sea comes back, takes them all out. Listen, no matter what situation that you find yourself in, you may feel trapped, you may feel like, man, I am stuck between an army and a Red Sea. God can make a way where there seems to be no way in your life and in mine. In your life and in mine. In the life of David. Remember David, little shepherd boy? He's watching the sheep. His dad comes to him and says, listen, there's a battle going on. Will you take your brother some lunch? He says, okay, sure, Dad, I'll take him to lunch. He goes to the battlefield area where all the Israelites are encamped. And there's a giant there who's taunting. He's basically saying, you send out one warrior. If I kill him, you serve us. If he kills me, you know, we'll serve you. And David hears that, and everybody's cowering in fear. Everybody's afraid of this big old giant. And David walks in. He says, I'll fight him. He says something, basically, this is going to be the AJN version. He basically says this, who does that guy think he is? He can't curse our God. Are you kidding me? What's wrong with you people? I mean, he kind of has that attitude. He's a little shepherd boy. And basically, he goes to the king, and the king says, dude, you can't fight this guy. He's a warrior. He's been a warrior since he was your age, and you can't fight him. And David says, listen, man, I killed a lion. I killed a bear. He says, and you know what? This Philistine is going to be just like them. This giant, no problem. And scripture says the king tries to dress him up in his armor. He's like, this isn't going to fit me. It's not going to work. He throws it away, and he takes his staff and a sling and some smooth stones, and he heads out to the battle. And then I love this picture, man. Goliath's sitting there, and man, he starts taunting. He says, man, I'm going to feed your body to the beasts of the field and to the birds of the air. And man, you're going to be toast. And David looks at him and says, listen, you come against me with a spear and a shield, but I come against you with a great, awesome, mighty God who is bigger than you. You see, the thing about that story that we forget is David understood the greatness of God. He understood that no matter how big the giant was, his God was always greater. And when you have a giant that comes into your life, you can always know, no matter how big it is, that there is a God that you have that is bigger than any giant that you face. How about in the life of Daniel? Daniel, he's in a foreign country, he's in a foreign land, and they pass a law. Basically, you cannot pray to any other God. You could only kind of bring those things to the king. David had prayed morning, afternoon, and night. And so he hears about this proclamation. And by the way, if you found guilty of it, they feed you to the lions. So Daniel hears about it, and Daniel doesn't go, oh man, what am I going to do? Oh man, this is a big problem. Oh man, this is a big issue. It says that David goes and he prays like he always had. In an open window. Like, I always, like, as even as a kid, I'm like, Daniel, listen, I'm glad that you love the Lord, and I'm glad you're obeying him, and you're not letting the things of man, you know, blah, blah, blah. But I was like, David, really, in an open window? Doesn't care. Open window, like he always did. And he goes there, and he begins to pray. They grab him. They throw him in the lion's den. You know the story. King comes running down the next morning and says, basically, what's, Daniel, are you okay? Daniel, are you all right? Daniel yells up, yep, King, I'm fine. I'm fine. He said, the Lord sent an angel. It closed the mouths of the lions. God has control over anything and everything. How about in the life of Jesus? In the life of Jesus. His disciples basically are on a boat. Jesus is down in the hull of the boat, kind of resting, taking a nap. Storm comes flowing in. Man, it's massive. It's big. They're scared. They don't know what's going on. They wake up Jesus. They, hey, Jesus, we're going to drown. Hey, Jesus, come on, wake up. Jesus kind of looks at him kind of groggily and kind of looks up and kind of stands up in the boat, and he says to the water and the waves, he says, hey, shut it. Amazing. And they sit there amazed and they go, who is this man that even the wind and the waves obey him? No matter what storm you face, no matter how great it may be in your heart and in your life, God is big enough to speak to it and quiet it down. And maybe he'll quiet the storm, or maybe he'll quiet the storm in your heart, but he's big enough to handle it. Another one, Jesus tells his disciples, go off to the other side. You get on the boat, you head over that way, I'll be there in a minute. He goes up and he begins to pray. Well, once again, a storm kind of comes up on the Sea of Galilee. Big one. They're scared. It's a big old deal. And all of a sudden, they look out and they see this figure walking on the water. They flip out like all of us would. Like, what is going on? And they begin to get scared. They think it's a ghost and all this sort of stuff. And Jesus calls out and says, hey, guys, it's me, Peter. Big mouth Peter. Sorry, Peter. One day, I'm sorry, I got a big mouth too. He says, Lord, if that's really you, tell me to come out with you. I don't think he thought that it really was Jesus. You know what I mean? I don't, maybe he did. Maybe he was like, no, this is Jesus and I want to walk on the water. I don't think so. I think Peter's like, ha, I'm going to show you that you're not really who you say you are. You're not going to fool me. And Jesus says, come on. And for a time, Peter gets out and he walks on the water. It may seem impossible, the situation that you're facing, but God may look at you and say, will you trust me enough to walk with me on the water and deal with the situation at hand? And I mean, the biggest one of all is Jesus was taken, he was crucified, put in a tomb. 3 days later, he rises again. Defeats death, hell, and the grave. Listen, I don't know about you, but when I look at my life, ultimately the issues that I face fall under one of those three categories: death, hell, or the grave. And in one victorious, great, awesome moment, Jesus dealt with it all. Yes. He dealt with it all for you and for me. There's a greatness of God that we need to understand. There's a greatness of God that we need to apply in our lives. Because there's not only the greatness of God in the Bible, but there's the greatness of God in our lives. You see, we kind of read those stories and we see these things and we go, oh, well, yeah, God, that's great. That's awesome. But God, I'm no Abraham. God, that's awesome. That's great. But I'm no David. I'm no Daniel. But the thing is, when you look at Deuteronomy 10, the first part of verse 17, listen to what it says. It says, for the Lord your God is the God of gods and the Lord of lords. He is the great God, the mighty and awesome God. I love that. I love that God basically says to you and to me, listen, I want to be that God for you. You see, it's one thing to look and go, wow, God, you're awesome. You're God of gods, Lord of lords. But God, you're over there, I'm over here. And really, we don't have much to do with each other. It's a completely different understanding when God says he wants to be your great God and your great Lord and your mighty and awesome God. And it's important that we understand that. It's important that we see that in our lives. Because here's the thing. We'll do that, like I said, we'll do that for others. But for some reason, we think that God won't be that great and awesome and mighty for you, for us as individuals. Oh, yeah, well, he'll do it for them. But God wants to be this great God for you in your life. Look at Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3, 19 through 20 says this. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to fully understand or to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now to all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Listen, what's awesome about this series, what's awesome about understanding the greatness of God is at the end of this, I'm not going to hand you out a test and go, okay, do you truly now understand all of the attributes of God? You're not going to. They're too great. That's why we started with the greatness of God. It's too great. You can try and try and try. Listen, you can lock yourself away, not deal with anybody else, just read the Bible, just pray all the time. And at the end of your life, you know what you're going to find? You still haven't completely understood it all. You still haven't understood the greatness, the love, the mercy, all those things of God to their fullness. But here's the deal. I want to try. You see, sometimes what we'll do is we'll see the greatness of God in a way in our lives and we'll go, it's too big. I can't understand it. So we quit. Or we do something like this. I will trust the pastor, or I will trust my spouse, or I will trust my parents, or I will trust my youth pastor to teach me enough so that I can fully understand. But that's not how God sees it, because God looks at your life and goes, listen, I want to be your God. I want you to understand. You see, we're so conditioned in our world, right? Here in a couple weeks, you know, all the kids are going back to school, right? And when they do, they're going to learn a subject, and then at the end of that subject or whatever, they're going to get a test, right? And the test is going to judge or figure out to an extent what they know. You know what's awesome about God? There's no tests at the end. He just says there's more and there's more and there's more and there's more and there's more. And here's the thing about God. We have all eternity and we're still never going to get him. He is literally that great and that big and that amazing. And he wants to be that in your life. Look here, Jeremiah 33:3. It says, call to me. This is God speaking to you and to me. Call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. That's a promise in your life. That's a promise in mine, that when we will call out to God, when we look to him, he'll answer, and he'll answer in a way of great and mighty things, things that we don't understand, things that we don't always see. But we have got to call out to him. We need to call out to him. We need to be willing to allow the greatness of God to affect us and our lives. But we also need to remember something even greater than that. Because it's one thing to kind of see God out here, and it's another thing to do something a little bit different. And he invites us to do it. We need to make sure that the greatness of God is in us, not just around us. Because here's the deal. We can misunderstand the greatness of God. We can see other things in the greatness of God. We have a name for it sometimes that we even use it. We call it a coincidence. We will see something happen in our hearts or in our lives and we go, oh man, isn't that crazy that that just happened? As if it was just chance, as if it was just some cosmic oops. When God is the master creator. He's the master mover of the chessboard, if that makes sense to you. And he's taking pieces here and here, and he's putting them together. He's doing great and mighty things, things that we don't even understand. And we can totally miss it. And we miss it most of the time because we don't understand that God doesn't just want to be around us. He wants to be in us. Look at 1 John 4:4. It says this, "You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world." The one that is in you is greater. And so we have to understand that God doesn't just want to be great around us. He wants to be living in us and among us and allow us to experience the greatness of Him to deal with the things in the world that we deal with at times. But listen, if we just have God around us, that won't be enough. God desires to be in us. Now, with all that understanding and snowflakes and Abraham and Moses and David, all these things, how do we respond this morning? Let's do some application. How do we respond to the greatness of God? I want to give you three quick things. Now that we kind of sit there and we go, wow, you know, there's a lot here. There's this, you know, snowflakes and all this stuff. What do we do? What do we do with this? Like I said, I want to give you three things to look at this morning to apply. Number one, God is great and greatly to be praised. God is great and greatly to be praised. Psalms 96:4 just comes straight out of Scripture. "For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised." Listen, when we understand the greatness and the awesomeness of God, it drives us to worship. In a lot of ways, I've heard this said, the way that you worship will show how you see God. When you see God as great and mighty and awesome and the Lamb of God and worthy, worthy, worthy. Listen, now, that doesn't mean that you'll be maybe exuberant in your worship. Like, I've seen some people, man, they're running around like a chicken with their head cut off. And I go, you know, that's great, but I don't know if you really are really doing this for the Lord. I'm just being honest. And I've seen some people, man, they're quiet. Maybe they're not even, oh my goodness, they're not even standing up. But in that moment, there is an intensity of love and gratitude and praise that is flowing out of those people. I mean, it's just unreal. Listen, don't mistake exuberance for real praise, okay? Please. Now, if you are exuberant, God bless you. Awesome. But when you say, when we understand greatly to be praised, there is an understanding of how great God really is. And when we truly understand all that He's done. Now, here's the deal. Let's kind of put it in an understanding that we could all know. Because we've talked about this kind of before. But I want to look at it a little different twist. Because literally, I was kind of thinking about it a little bit differently. And I've talked about this idea of, what if someone came up to you, okay? And they actually had the means to do this, okay? Maybe you know somebody, maybe you don't, whatever. And they walk up to you and they say, "Hey, listen, I just wanted to give you something." And you say, "Oh, okay, thank you. Well, that's really sweet. What is it?" And he hands you an envelope. And you open up the envelope. And inside the envelope is a check written to you for $10 million. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm just going to guess most of us wouldn't go, "Thank you so much. I really appreciate that." Okay, if you want to see how I would respond, please do it. I would be more than happy to show you in real time how I would respond to that. But I'll tell you what, there would be some excitement. There would be some jumping up and down. There'd be some hugging. There'd be some, "Oh, I am so thankful. I am so, this is awesome. Oh, you're the best." I mean, I would just, it would not be a quiet situation. If you're going to do it, please don't do it in a public place because I will embarrass you. Okay, I will. I'll embarrass you. Okay, now, I've stopped to think about that for a second. So here's the deal. Makes sense, but why? Why would Aaron, why would you be so excited, so heap praise on them, be so thankful, all those things? Why would I? And I came up with two reasons for me, and I think this is probably true of most of us. But the first reason I would be so excited about is all my debts would be taken care of. Now, thankfully, I don't have a lot, Emily and I, we don't have a lot of debts. We're trying to pay our house down. You know, I mean, all, you know, but we have debt, just like everybody, you know, not everybody, but a lot of people have, you know. And you know what? You come to me and you hand me a check for $10 million. Emily and I are probably writing another check pretty quick to the mortgage company. And I would, you know, if we had other debts, we would have to, we'd take care of them. We'd take care of all the debts. And that would be pretty awesome, wouldn't it? You know, in your life, wouldn't that be great? Just wipe it all clean. I mean, that's the first reason. But the second reason is more than just that. I would know at that moment that my future was secure.
Yes.
Okay? I would know in that moment that, you know what? I don't even have to work anymore. I could just literally take that money, put it in the bank, and let it get interest, and I'm done. Like, I am secure. I would be so excited if someone handed me $10 million because my debt was paid and my future was secure. And yet, Jesus' death, resurrection, and love for me, because of all he's done, has paid my sin debt, and he's made my future secure, and I will sit there at times and go, God, I'm just so thankful.
Preaching, Pastor.
I'm just so thankful, Lord, of all that you've done. Or we'll look at other issues or other problems and we'll allow those to steal our excitement and our praise for the Lord. We'll allow those things to be greater than the fact that our God has done all that we need and more. God is great and greatly to be praised. Number two, God is great and greatly to be shared. God is great and greatly to be shared. Psalms 34:3 says this, "Come, let us tell of the Lord's greatness. Let us exalt his name together." I mean, let's be honest. How many of you, maybe you find out there's a new restaurant or a new store or whatever else, and instead of doing it like the old way, which is, you know, basically like just showing up, you'll jump online and you'll go, "I wonder what the reviews are." Or maybe you're looking online and you're going, you know, I need a new pair of pants or a shirt. Or you kind of look at, oh, that looks nice, but you're not quite sure about it. And so what you do is you go down to the review section. Or you're buying something on Amazon and you can literally go through there and go, you know, I need a new spatula. Who knows? You need a new spatula. And you can go over to the search part of the situation. You go, I only want to look at spatulas that were rated 4.5 stars or higher. We are inundated in our world with people's opinions and reviews about everything. And when we find something great, whether if it's a movie or a television show or a restaurant, we will share that with each other. "Hey, man, listen, I just went to this restaurant. My wife and I just went to this restaurant. It was so good. You ought to go. It's so good. Hey, we found this individual who can do this. Boy, he did a great job. You should do that. You should." Listen, when we find something great, we share it. Except at times our relationship with Jesus, which is the greatest thing any of us have ever experienced ever. Why? Are we going, man, like maybe God would be great for me, but not for them? Are we afraid? Like, I've never been afraid to walk up to somebody and go, you know me, I mean, especially because I'm picky. Or selective is the better term when it comes to food. You know, listen, if I come up to you and I say, "Listen, we went to this restaurant. It was awesome. It was so good." Listen, I'm just going to be honest. Maybe it's not going to be the best restaurant for most people. Because I kind of have a different view of restaurants than you. Like, most of you are like, "Oh, it had all this stuff and had all these options." Like, for me, like, a good restaurant is like, it has one thing that I like that I can order every single time. And to you, you're like, "Nope. You know, like, that's boring. I want to have all these options, or I want to do this or that." It's one thing if I come to you and go, "Listen, this is a great restaurant." Because what I think is great may not actually be great. But when you share the greatness of God and the love of God, it is great for everyone. There is not a single human being who has ever lived or will ever live where the greatness of God would not be great for them. And we don't have to go, "Well, I don't know if they'll like it. Well, I don't know." Listen, we were created by God for him. We need him. And it's time that we start sharing those things, because there's a situation in our world where people need Jesus. Not that that hasn't changed. That has been the case ever since the garden. But I think for the first time, in a lot of ways, we as his people have begun to go, is he really that great? Yes, he's really that great. And he can change our lives. So he's great and greatly to be shared. Number three, God is great and greatly to be believed. Greatly to be believed. Look here, John 14, 12. This is Jesus speaking. He says, I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done and even greater works, because I'm going to be with the Father. Now, let's stop for a second and let's kind of examine this verse. And Linda, if you would, just keep that up there. So Jesus is speaking here, okay, to understand a little more of the context of the situation. He's this is kind of his last kind of words to his disciples in John before he heads to the cross. So this is some important stuff that Jesus is communicating. And he makes this comment. He says, I'm telling you, I'm not lying to you. This is big. This is serious. This is basically what he's saying. He says, anyone that believes in me will do the same works I have done. Now, here's the deal. If there was a period at the end of that verse, that's still awesome. Okay? Because let's stop for a second. Let's think about the things Jesus has done. We talked about the walking on the water. We talked about calming the seas. We talk about basically speaking to dead people and them coming back to life again. These are some of the same works that Jesus is talking about. Do you understand that? You see, most of us are like, oh, the same works as Jesus. Oh, that means I can be loving and kind. And yes, you can. Those are great, awesome things. And there's more. But Jesus doesn't stop there. He says, listen, if you will believe in me, if you will trust that I am bigger and greater than the situations, the circumstances you face, you're not just going to do the same works. You're going to do even greater works. Why? Because Jesus says, I'm going to the Father. And right now we know Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you and I. Now I want you to stop for a second. And I want you to think about how great a God has to be to make someone like me great. Not you, but me. Because I got all sorts of issues. I got all sorts of problems. I got all sorts of nonsense in my life that I'm trying to work on. And Jesus says to Aaron, he says to me, he says, listen, if you will believe in me, Aaron, with all your stuff and all the situations and all that, if you'll believe in me, you're going to do greater works than me. That's a great God. That's a great God. You see, it's one thing for a great God to say, I'm going to do great things. And that's awesome. It's awesome. It's great. It's another thing for a great God to say, listen, I'm going to make this vessel of clay that's all messed up and marred into something that can make an impact eternally in the lives of people. That's a great God. And what's your job? What's my job in all this? To believe. To believe that God is greater than any situation or circumstance that we face. To know that he is greater and that he already is working things out for his glory and his kingdom, no matter what we deal with or what we face in our world today and in our lives and in our hearts. He is greater than it all. When we believe and we'll stop for a second and go, you know what, God? This is a big deal, but you're greater than that. Let's do me a favor. Let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes. Let's close. You see, I think in a lot of ways, it is very easy for us to do something. And you would think this is kind of counterintuitive in a lot of ways. And maybe it's just me. I don't think it is, but maybe it's just me. But I accepted the Lord, you know, when I was very young. And as I've gotten older, you would think that my understanding of the greatness of God would have grown. And I think it has a little bit, you know. But at the same time, I have found that for people that have served the Lord for a while, our understanding of the greatness of God has not grown. It's actually somewhat shrunk. And again, that doesn't make sense. And I don't know if it's just we become comfortable. You know, I've heard the term, we become comfortably numb to the greatness of God. And here's the deal. Here's a good litmus test for your life. Like, when you think about the greatness of God, what do you think about? When you think about how big and awesome God really is, what goes through your head? Because for some of us, there are issues that can come in, and really, in the moment, yes, I get it, you know, they seem pretty big. But nothing compares to the greatness of God. You go, well, Aaron, you know, you don't quite understand. You see, last week I was diagnosed with cancer. And you know what? That can be great. That can be a big issue. But you know what? Our God is greater. You say, well, Aaron, you know, I just lost my job. You know, I've been working at this firm or this company for a long time, and you know, and I don't know what we're going to do. I don't know how we're going to handle this as a family or as an individual. I'm not sure what to do. Our God is greater. You say, you know, my relationship with my spouse is just, it's falling apart. It's not the way it used to be. We fight all the time. We're walking on eggshells all the time. It's not good, and I just don't know what to do. I don't know what to turn. I don't know how to deal with these things. You know what? No matter what relationship turmoil you may be in, our God is greater. And I could sit here for the next 30 minutes and just go through thing after thing after thing, but here's the deal. No matter what thing has popped into your mind, our God is still greater. Now, here's the deal. I can't promise you how God's going to deal with it. I don't know. But I do know that Scripture says His plans for us are perfect. I do know that He loves us and that He is working out all things for our good. Do I know what that looks like every time? No. Do I understand that sometimes God will, in our own minds, understand it as someone of a maybe not so good because God needs to do that to bring something even better? There's just so much here. And here's the thing I've learned about the greatness of God. God's greatness is so big and so awesome. I just can trust that. I can trust His greatness over any situation or any circumstance and let Him handle the details of it. But for some of us, we're not even bringing things to God because we have convinced ourselves that God is too small or not interested in what we're dealing with or what the situation is in our life. And I'm here to tell you, listen, He knows, He cares, and He's greater. He knows, He cares, and He's greater. You see, some of us go, you know, God knows, but He doesn't care. Some of us don't even think God knows. So how, if God doesn't know, how could He even care? And then how could He actually be greater? Some of us believe that God knows, that God cares, but that God isn't greater than the situation that we face. We have to take all three and put all three to account to allow God to do in our heart, in our lives, the great and mighty things that He wants to do.
That's right.
He knows. He cares. And He's greater. Some of you, man, when it comes to those things that come into your heart or come into your life and you just start to go, God, I don't know what to do. You just need to kind of let those words just kind of roll off your tongue. God knows, He cares, and He's greater. He knows, He cares, and He's greater than that situation or that circumstance. And He is going to do great and mighty things in my life. It's who God is. It's a part of his character. And for some of us, maybe because we've served him for a long time or whatever, we've forgotten the greatness of God. And this morning, I just want to challenge all of us to once again stand in awe of God. To once again know that no matter what is flashed over any screen that we're watching or any situation that the world finds itself in, that you know what? God's still greater. Doesn't mean that we bury our heads in the sand and act like none of this stuff is going on. It means that we understand the stuff's going on and understand that God is greater and is over all of it. And we allow that to affect the way we live, think, move, speak, and experience each other and him. So here's the deal. I don't know where you're at, but I know with a group like this and this many people that there's more than one, I'm sure, where you'd go, you know what, Aaron, I'm dealing with this situation right now, and I need to be reminded of the greatness of God, that God is bigger. You need to take that to him and say, God, you're bigger than this situation. And God, I trust that you've got it, and I trust that you have me. And because here's the deal, no matter who we are, no matter what we where we've been or what we experienced, all of us, every single one of us, could grow in our understanding of the greatness of God, because none of us are ever going to get there as far as understanding it all. But all of us can grow in it. And today, I believe the Lord is giving us that opportunity to do that and to experience him. So, in this moment, what I'm going to ask is real simple. For some of you, we just need to ask God, God, expand my understanding of your greatness. Expand my understanding of your awesomeness. Help me once again to see you as the great and mighty God that you are. For others of us, we have that situation, that thing that's going right on our hearts right now. Some of you, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And we have unfortunately maybe forgotten that no matter how great that situation is, our God is greater. And we need to bring that thing to him and say, you know what, God, this is a big deal. This is a great thing. But God, you're greater, and I trust that you're greater. And God, I know that you're greater. And God, I'm going to live in such a way that proves that in my life. Some of us need to repent of allowing those things to be the thing we focus in on and not the greatness of God. You see, that's sometimes what we do. We focus on what we think is a great problem instead of focusing in our great God, who can deal with it and help us. So whichever those two are, as I pray with you and pray over you, I pray that you would just bring those to the Lord. Don't just sit. Don't just miss this as an opportunity. He hears your call. Remember we talked about it in Jeremiah. When you call, he answers, and he'll show you great and mighty things that you do not know. But call out to him in this time. Father, we love you and we thank you. God, for all that you are and all that you have done. God, you are so great. You are so mighty. You are so strong. And Father, for some of us, we just need to be reminded this morning. We need to be reminded of snowflakes. We need to be reminded of stars. We need to be reminded of red seas that can be parted in our lives. And for some of us, we have those experiences that we have. And God, I pray that even in this moment, God, as you are growing our faith and our understanding of who you are and your greatness, God, I pray that you'd bring those things back to our remembrance. That you would, even now, God, as we're praying, God, you would begin to say, you begin to say, see how great I was here? I was great then. I'm still great today. And for others of us, we may be dealing with a specific situation that may seem too great, that may seem too big, that may be in our hearts we've kind of allowed it to be bigger than you. And God, if that's the case, God, first and foremost, we repent. We're sorry that we have forgotten how great you are. But God, as your word says, you are faithful and just to forgive us. And we're so thankful for that. It's another part of your greatness. But God, we don't just desire to say we're sorry. We desire now to focus not on the issue, but on the greatness of our God and how He will do great and mighty things. So we give that situation to You. We place it in Your capable hands. We know that You know, You care, and that You're greater. And we ask that You would remind us of that when it can be so easy to kind of want to pick it back up. Father, thank You for desiring to make Yourself known to us and help us through this morning and throughout this series to know You in a deeper way. We love You, and we're so thankful for all that You are, all that You've done. You're so good, and we love You so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Awesome. So listen, I hope that you have a wonderful week. Oh, I did forget to mention something. I just popped in my head. For the ladies' book club, there is a sign-up sheet out in the foyer, okay? So even if you're like, well, you know, I was a part of the group last spring, so they know I'm coming. No, 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 sign up so everybody knows, you know, that you're going to be there. It helps them to plan. So please, ladies, don't forget to sign up for the book club that's starting up in September. Remember, no youth tonight as well. So for those that are online, boy, we love you. We hope that you're doing well. Hope to see you soon. For the rest of you, have a great, wonderful week. Love you all so much. We'll talk to you soon.